We got four left remaining. It is at Memphis tonight. Turn around, come home, host the Pelicans tomorrow night. Host the Raptors Friday night in the season Sunday, which is going to be an insane day, by the way, in the NBA. They're Mavericks at Minnesota. The reason I say it's going to be an insane day is because of the play-in tournament and because of some of these seeding races. It's going to be fascinating the way the NBA has Sunday stacked with a lot of games starting at similar times. And in fact, most of those times have not been announced yet. If you look at the NBA Sunday schedule, they are currently all TBD.
Was that intentional?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I saw the Mavs when I printed out the last eight games a couple days ago.
Yeah. So
They're
that's
at Minnesota
to
TBD.
try to A, limit any funny business, and B, ensure that the games are good. Because if a team wants to try to duck another team, if they find out that another team won or lost, that sort of thing.
Okay.
They want everything to happen at the same time, which is, that's kind of like what European soccer does. I think baseball's tried to do this. We will not get KP back tonight, but the expectation is that he will play tomorrow night. They'll get him three games before the playoffs. So I remember us talking before the year about what is the ideal season for KP given his injury history. And I think we thought you probably need to expect this guy to play 60 to 65 games in an 82 game season. That's probably about what you should expect. It's not great, but if for 65 games he's very effective, he takes off some back-to-backs, he has rest whenever he needs load management. The fact is, he's an injury-prone player, whether it's from, contact or non-contact. He is what he is. Are you okay giving him what he's getting for 65 regular season games and then being good in the playoffs, which he was last year? Well, it turns out he's going to end up playing, if he plays those final three, 43 of 72 this year. In a regular 82 game season, that would be about 50. Now, could you ask the question if maybe the reason he missed more, a higher percentage this year than you would like, is because the games are so compressed? So missing two games in a regular season or one might mean three or two this year. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
I
I don't
don't
know if
know
you buy
either.
that, because it's not like he's just taking all the back-to-backs off.
No, I'm also factoring in him getting hurt every year for at least a
Yeah,
few.
he's been out for a couple of extended stretches.
So he's set to return tomorrow night as the Mavs have at Memphis tonight and then hosting New Orleans tomorrow night. Related to that, by the way, if the Mavericks win three of those last four, that would have been in a 82 game season, a 50 win pace between 49 and 50. So I think given if you consider it a regular season, if they won 49, 50 games, given the COVID situation,
Oh, huge success.
I think you'd call that a success
And just a
because,
step from where they were. Remember last year at the beginning of the year, nobody thought they'd make the playoffs.
right. And this year,
And Luka advanced everybody's timeline on everything.
big time. And I think you can conservatively, let's say you gave them two or three more wins with the COVID situation. If you're a 52, 53 win team, that's pretty dang good. So with KP coming back tonight, he spoke to the media yesterday after practice for the first time in a long time, like almost 3 weeks, I think. And he was asked a question by Brad Townsend of the Dallas Morning News that gave a pretty read between the lines answer here on what they're going to do with him when he comes back. Is he going to be out there with Dwight, like he has done recently with kind of Dwight at the five, KP at the four, and then they switch on defense? Is he going to be out there with a bunch of wings and Luka, like they tried earlier this year? Will he be out there with Maxey? Well, we know KP is not shy to tell you what's on his mind, so here's the question.
Kristaps, in the last few games you had played, Dwight had been back, and when you were starting, it seemed like you were playing more power forward, which you did some of last year too. But what is kind of the biggest adjustment for you, really having to go back and forth between the two positions? How comfortable are you doing that if that's what's needed?
I mean, I'm not, it is this, I don't know. It doesn't matter as much maybe, because me and Dwight, we talk on a court. Dwight's great, communicating stuff, and sometimes I'm the trailer, he's the trailer, and so on, and there's some, it is what it is, and we're trying to make it work, and I hope I'll have my opportunities within the offense.
He's trying to not get himself in trouble there.
What do you say at the very end? I'll have my opportunities. What?
I mean, it is what it is, and we're trying to make it work, and I hope I'll have my opportunities within the offense.
I'll have my opportunities within the offense.
Or leading the offense.
To me, and I listened to it a bunch of times, I think he's saying within, because he knows he's not going to lead the offense, but he wants opportunities within the offense, meaning he doesn't want another big out there clogging things up for him. He doesn't want to, whenever they bring the ball up the floor, he wants to be the guy who inbounds the ball and then trails up the floor and can either hit a three, or he can catch and dribble and move, which he's pretty good at, as opposed to just saying, go to the block, go to the corner. And I don't have a great answer for you on this. They're just going to have to manage it. He also didn't mention anything about playing with Maxey, which I think for most of the year we all thought, well, that's a decent compromise because Maxey can shoot. He can defend in different ways than KP can, but, man, I don't know. To me, I want the dude out there for his offense and the idea of his defense, but I think he's got to understand, until you prove that you can be the only big out there defensively without getting ragdolled, they cannot just leave you out there with Dorian, Hardaway, I guess fill in the blank, and Luka, Josh Richardson, right? They can't just go three-wing guard KP for too long of stretches, because he hasn't proven he can handle it against most teams anyways.
Yeah, and then when it's hard to read the context, I guess, but when he paused in there and then at the end just said, well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Like he's almost resigning himself to the fact that they're going to do this thing that I'm really not that on board with, but here we are. So I'm going to do the best I can here.
Yeah, and feels like that's about how every one of his answers shake out, is it is what it is. I'll do the best I can.
Is the honeymoon over with him as far as he's happy being the second banana if the winning is happening? But the winning is happening, but is he happy?
I don't think so. I don't think he's...
You don't think he's happy?
I don't think he's thrilled. And not to read too much into just social media, I think I could extrapolate this out for you and tell you that the Mavericks fan base is probably 75% against Kristaps Porzingis and him being here. I really do think that. You know, whether it's the storylines about, look, it looks like the team is more together and having more fun, whether we're having to analyze every single celebration and his role in it. And the crazy part about it is, if you look at his numbers this year, yes, he played about 10% fewer games than I was hoping he would play. But he's arguably having his best offensive season of his career. Highest two-point percentage, highest free throw percentage, scoring line is right in average, points per game, his second-best three-point shooting percentage season, and he's taking way more this year than he was in his best shooting percentage season. He's kind of low-key offensively been exactly what you thought you would get when he's playing. I mean, he's a 20-9 guy who can still get you threes to the line. I mean,
right? That's incredible.
It's almost like if he just had played six or seven more games this year, we wouldn't be hearing about this. But then he gets asked about it. Then he answers. It fans the flames. Is it a Luka problem? Is it a Rick problem? And it all makes me think that as much as I want it to work, and I still think there's a good chance it can, if he plays well down the stretch and in the playoffs, they're going to look to move him this offseason. They're just going to say...
You think they'd rather move him than separate themselves from Carlisle? Because I wonder if Carlisle's run his course here. And I wonder what the Mavs would rather have happen.
Well, the problem with that is that, to me, and you may be right that Carlisle's run his course, but the problem is I don't know that there's another coach that's going to be able to fix whatever is KP's issues with this roster. Because it's pretty well set up. There's not another big that needs the ball a lot. They just want to run their offense in a different way. This is not Kemba.
But don't you work, if you have a talent like him, don't you try to work with that, though? And I don't know that Carlisle does.
They've tried different things. The problem is it more the coach is not trying enough different things, or that the player's not buying into each one of them outside of the one that he thinks is the best idea?
Well, it's clearly then a player coach. There's a disconnect there. And I feel like almost Carlisle is more of an old school guy who speaks with his minutes that are doled out and, you know, lets you kind of figure it out.
Yeah, but even said that's worked on some other guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So Josh Richardson's playing pretty well
now. No, but Josh Richardson's playing for a contract this offseason, and KP is maxed out for the next four.
Throw Tim Hardaway Jr. in that Josh bucket. He's about to be free too, and knows that if I keep playing like this, they're going to offer me everything somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's that. But that other KP part, that's not changing for 3 years. And this could all be for naught, because they could go win a round and be competitive in the second round, and then everybody's happy. But
and everybody comes back next year.
The way that he has to, you know, answer these questions, kind of like, well, you know, I don't. And then he stops, and there's an ellipses.
You know what else? The fact that they keep winning without him is not helping his case in the public perception.
Right. It doesn't really matter who it's against.
Like, if Luka's not there, there's a really good chance they lose.
Yeah.
No matter who it's against.
And if they win without Luka there and KP plays, then we get read between the lines comments from Porzingis about how we just move the ball better tonight.
Right, right.
Don't exactly know what the deal was with that. So it's something to keep an eye on, but hopefully he can get going here for the final three starting tomorrow night.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.